Welcome to the Ditch the Struggle podcast. I'm your host, Alana Rosso. I'm a graphic designer turned career and success coach who knew I could do better, but kept falling short of where I wanted to go. But after years of exploring personal and career development, business, money mindset, and energy work, I'm here to tell you that yes, you can move from stuck and defeated to empowered and confident. Ready to dive in? Awesome. Together, let's ditch the struggle. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Ditch the Struggle. Today, we're going to talk tiny houses. Tiny houses, those little houses. But it's actually not about tiny houses. It's about me getting obsessed with tiny houses and what that actually meant and why I was obsessed with it. Because that whole experience, this whole obsession, led me to figure out a few things about myself. And so I'm hoping by the end of this episode, you'll have some ideas as to how to question why you do something, why you want something, and if you actually want it for the right reasons. It's kind of a fun story too. Not going to be too heavy today. And personally, I'm going to try and speak a little slower. I have been noticing how quickly I speak. I think all my Toastmasters training has gone out the window as I was listening to my episode about Toastmasters. So ironic. Oh, there's my but I'm going to slow it down a bit. However, hopefully some people appreciate the speed and how quickly we get to where we need to go. So, okay, let's talk tiny houses because it really began innocently enough. I started watching these shows like Tiny House Builders and Tiny House Nation, and I could not stop. I just, one after another, I binged every single episode of every single season. And it's like, one of them's like the Tiny House Nation. It's like House Hunters International, that kind of thing where you go and look at three different houses. In this case, it was three tiny houses. Some of them were so tiny, they look like basically coffins. Like they, so ridiculous. But I could not look away. I just became so obsessed with it. And all of these tiny houses, and they were adorable. And I just was watching day in, day out, these couples move into these shoeboxes. Some of them just like, as I said, like shoeboxes on wheels or shipping containers, and then like throwing a chandelier in there to make it look all sparkly and fancy. Some of them were less than 300 feet. I couldn't imagine actually living in a tiny, tiny house, but the concept of extreme downsizing and kind of moving into an uncluttered, airy living space was very compelling. And my obsession was fueled by the fact that my husband and I were thinking about moving out of our house. We have kind of an awkward layout in our house and didn't necessarily need the whole, like the whole house. It was maybe a little too big. And we just have ourselves and a small dog. And so I started thinking about downsizing. I had also watched that documentary. It came out in 2015, Minimalism. It's Minimalism, a documentary about the important things. So it's all about downsizing, getting rid of things. It had billions of views on Netflix. I watched that. I also went down the whole Marie Kondo path in 2017. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that because Marie steered me wrong. I so regret throwing certain things out. But anyway, I got into this whole space of like downsizing, living this uncluttered life. I didn't want to have too much stuff. And I do want to point out, I'm not a hoarder. I actually get rid of stuff all the time. If you go into any of my closets, they're not going to look like Monica Geller's. They're pretty organized. I try and keep to what I really need. But I just felt like really going more extreme. And as I'm watching these shows, Declan was getting very concerned. He would see me watching them and he'd just pop his head in the living room and he'd be like, we're not moving into a tiny house. And then like exit the room. And I was like, yeah, I know. I totally know we're not moving into a tiny house. I'm just watching it because I want some design ideas when we move into a smaller house, because they do get so creative with how they make things work. And every single drawer has purpose. And it is really cool what they do. But I was like Googling tiny houses for sale, Canada. I was looking at that. I was looking at land. I was like, we're going to just have this like small house and little dachshunds and live a simple life and try and grow some vegetables and the whole thing. So I'm in this train of thought. And then I have a friend who actually lives in Dubai send me a house listing on MLS for a very small house in an area up north that I love, that I really love, a couple of hours north of Toronto. She knew I was looking sort of casually around for a new house, and she knew this area really well. So she sends me this MLS listing, and it was like an adorable modern farmhouse, had an amazing yard too. I like outdoor space. So it wasn't an official tiny house, but it was only about 900 square feet, so pretty tiny. Two bedrooms and just one story of livable space. And I affectionately started calling it the Hobbit House. And I actually made an appointment to see it. So I was like, Deck, I'm off. I'm driving 2 hours north and I'm going to see this house. He knows he can't stop me because when I have something on my mind, I'm going for it. And it was like, of course, we're going to go look at it. He was definitely on board with potentially moving. But like how tiny we wanted to go was, it was up in the air. So as soon as I walked into this Hobbit house, I really loved it. It was light and airy, small, but light and airy. And they had closet space. So for all the leggings that I own, it had room for it. It had this great lawn that you could entertain on. So it was like checking a whole bunch of boxes. So much so that I booked a second viewing. I persuaded my anti-tiny house husband to come with me. And he came. And shockingly, he did love the house because it was really smartly designed. The couple that owned it had actually lived on a yacht for, I think, a few years. So they had renovated this house, I think, like 2010, and made every single nook and cranny work. So it was really smartly done. And he appreciates things like that because Deck can build things. He's like an engineer brain. And he was like, yeah, I actually really like this. So we decided to put down an offer. Like, we were moving pretty quickly. And I had a friend who lived in this town. So she was really excited because she's like, oh my God, you're going to live nearby. So we were thinking about putting the offer in and we were reviewing it or like thinking through. I had my friend who's a real estate agent on standby. And the next morning that we were going to put in that offer, I just suddenly blurted out to Deck, the house is too small. And I felt really sad and I kind of felt embarrassed about changing my mind. But Declan agreed. He thought the same thing. He was worried, though, that he would be labeled a dream house killer if he brought up his concerns first, because he didn't want to be the one to just come out and say that it was too small. But I knew it was too small. I knew it. It just had one bathroom. That's not fun for anybody. The basement was not livable. It was only for storage. And I had been lying awake the whole night before potentially putting in the offer, trying to figure out like how we were going to arrange some of our furniture and realizing that like there would be no room for some very precious and very large items I have. So I have like a solid oak chest that my dad made. I have a mid-century teak dining set that I really love. I got it on Craigslist like 15 years ago and I love it so much. And I have an 8-foot tall antique grandfather clock that is very, very important to me and sentimental. And it came from England and it doesn't work, but it's just beautiful. And I look at it and it reminds me of my childhood in many good ways. So I didn't want to get rid of these things and they would not fit in this tiny house. A lot of things were built in and there was not room for extra stuff, right? I started to get really kind of bummed out that this couldn't potentially work because I was very emotionally invested in this house. I did love it. I loved the area. And I knew it was going to be a good investment because of the location. But we called off our offer. And then I had to ask myself, okay, why did I really want a tiny house? Like, why did I want to downsize? There's some obvious reasons. You know, I do like to have less stuff. But I knew that wasn't the total story, and that's because I'm used to digging deep, and it wasn't just about having less to clean, although that's definitely nice. I imagined that I would feel really balanced in a smaller house, whole, at ease. I thought I would feel more in control of everything in my life. I thought I would have more time to do the things I should do on my to-do list that I never get around to. The common denominator, all of these things felt overwhelming, like all the stuff you have to do around a house and with your life felt overwhelming. And I was looking for a cure. So I was thinking that if I have a smaller house with less to clean, less to do, less to organize, I would be curing my overwhelm that I was experiencing. And all of us feel overwhelmed because there is so much to do and we live in a really highly stressful world. So I'm a coach who focuses on mindset a lot of the time. And I found this situation almost comical because on what planet did I think I could just simply change my exterior experience, like change something on the outside to instantly transform my interior inside experience, right? So I'm like, this is going to solve, this tiny house is going to solve everything, right? That's not to say it couldn't have been a great decision. It's not to say that downsizing isn't a brilliant move in many cases. But I had gotten swept up in the romanticism of the tiny house movement. And I thought I could simplify my life into a manageable state by downsizing. And while it does feel amazing to purge closets and donate unused items, I did realize I couldn't Marie Kondo my way into complete peace and freedom. Okay, so let's touch on Marie Kondo for a bit. I also read, like everyone else, that book in 2017, The Magical Art of Cleaning Up, or whatever that book is by Marie Kondo. And she has a Netflix series, which I didn't watch. Now, we have to always remember that people who lead a movement are usually extremists, for better or for worse. They're extremists, right? They have to show us like the extreme version, and then we can grasp onto parts of it and take what we can. I think usually that's the best way to kind of follow someone's advice as opposed to just like, you know, fully committing to exactly the way they do it, because the idea that what works for one person is going to work for everybody is ludicrous. So when it came to Marie, I got on a mission, purged a whole bunch of stuff, partly because I had inherited a lot of stuff from my dad in 2010 when he passed away. So I had a lot of stuff and I didn't know what to do with it all. We had had a garage sale the first year. I think after I got all the stuff and had to kind of make my way through it, but there was another layer to get through. So we organized another garage sale in 2017 because I was partly on this whole Marie Kondo, let's just get rid of everything train. And here's the thing. It was great to get rid of certain things. I think we made $450, you know, which is great. There are still, to this day, two things I sold that I regret. I absolutely regret it. One was a handmade item from a friend from my childhood. I have no idea why I sold it. It took up very little room. And another one was an organization piece I had with like beads and a whole bunch of like stickers and cute things that I had from my childhood. And I wasn't really using it. I don't really know why I got rid of it. Again, it wasn't that big. It was kind of useful in a way. I could have repurposed it into something. The point is, I went a little extreme, and that whole thing about does it spark joy now, I think has some legs. However, something cannot give you joy now and give you joy down the line. Like there are definitely things I have unearthed from closets years later, not so much clothes, but there are things I have unearthed and I'm like, wow, I'm really glad I kept this. So since this experience of selling off a lot of stuff at the garage sale, and me getting a little extreme with throwing things out, because Deck will be like, if something's missing in the house, he's like, yeah, you probably threw it out. And I was like, okay, I've stopped that behavior. I've stopped just chucking everything. I'm being very discerning. And if I'm not sure, I keep it for a little while longer. There's no pressure to actually throw things out right away. So do not let Marie just pressure you into getting rid of absolutely everything. Okay. Especially, you know, some paperwork or things that don't take up a lot of room. But yeah, you do absolutely need to keep things clear, uncluttered. I'm all about feng shui, actually. I'm going to get a feng shui expert on here. How you position things around your house. You don't want to go into your closet and have it full to the brim. You want to have breathing room. There's a whole bunch of things. Anyway, Marie steered me a bit wrong, or I let her steer me a bit wrong. And I was not going to find just total peace and freedom by getting rid of everything. So the idea that I would move into this hobbit house, get rid of everything, and lead a peaceful, simple life by virtue of the fact that I had downsized I just don't think that was a realistic vision. I do think I had romanticized things. So your physical environment does have a huge impact on your life. Now, for me, it really does. I would say physical environment is one of my top things that I need to look at when I am feeling stressed or unhappy. Even when I go downtown into the city, like I have to recover from that. Like physical things really can affect me. And a smaller house would have taken less time to maintain. But the truth is nothing was actually stopping me from doing all these things on my to-do list. Like it wasn't having more to clean in my house. It was actually the reason why I'm not getting stuff done or getting my podcast into production or whatever it is. Like that's a story we tell ourselves. And that's relying on something external to be the reason why we don't do something. So what I decided was I actually needed to double down on my personal development work. I had to go more into my meditation again, energy healing, getting clear on what I could control and like really look at where I was making excuses that push me away from the life that I really wanted. So I wanted this kind of breathing room. I wanted this space. And that word space is really interesting because I knew this. Like again, we know things and then we forget. Space is one of my core values. So core values are your most deeply held priorities. And for me, space is up there. And I'm talking physical space, okay? So I can't handle a lot of clutter. I'm talking space in my calendar. I've mentioned that many times before. I've just got to have space from people sometimes, from humans, from other people. I just need space. So if space is one of my core values, which I have written down and posted all over the place, and I have journaled about and all of that. If space is one of my core values, why the hell am I trying to get rid of space? Like, it's not actually making sense. There's a disconnect. I don't need a huge amount of space, but I need a certain amount, and there was going to be much less space if I moved into the Hobbit house. When I'm physically cramped and overscheduled, I instantly become a hot, hangry mess. Like, no wonder at the end of the day, moving into that tiny house did feel wrong. And I'm so glad that I sat down and really honestly checked in because this could have been a very big, not mistake, but it could have been a very big step that might not have been good in the long run for us. That decision to move into a tiny house was in conflict with one of my most deeply held priorities. And again, I could see why the idea was appealing, but maybe this wasn't the way to go around feeling like I was less pressured and less overwhelmed. So right now, am I anti-tiny house? No. I still enjoy looking at those shows. We actually did go look at tiny house builders as well, like physically go and see houses that were built. Some of them are really incredible. I'm not anti-tiny house, but I'm definitely pro space and ease. So how I achieve that, where I achieve that, it doesn't really matter, but I have to have some space and I have to have that breathing room. So what we ended up doing actually was to see if we liked this area that the Hobbit house was in. We moved into I think it was like 1,300 square foot condo for about a month that summer. And just decided to rent to see what we would do in that area, if we liked it, how it, you know, vibed with us. And actually our dog really hated like not being at home. She's a senior girl and I think she got really stressed out. So we moved back after a month. We were originally actually going to stay 3 months, but because like my whole life revolves around Dolly, every decision I make is really about her wellness and her happiness. We moved back and we decided that maybe one day we will live in that area. But we're not doing it right now while we have Dolly. And we do not need to move into a tiny house. Even actually being in that condo was too small for us, too stressful, just because of the layout and certain things. Like Deck didn't have his own office. He doesn't have a big office. But bottom line, guys, you got to look at when you're making a decision, especially a big one, why you want to make it. And checking in to see if that decision is in alignment with your core values. And your core values can be so many different things. It can be fun. It can be family. It can be space. It can be connection. It can be community. That's a huge one for a lot of people. So what is going to get you closer to your core values? You don't want to be moving away from them. You want to be getting in touch with them. And for me, this whole obsession, which was really fun to go down, I love a good rabbit hole. This whole obsession was me trying to find a solution for overwhelm and stress that we all have. And I was kind of going around it and about it the wrong way, but I learned so much. I appreciate the journey. And should anyone have questions about tiny houses, I probably have some really, really good links for you guys. So take care, guys. Thank you for joining me today on Ditch the Struggle. You showing up here means so, so much to me. To dig deeper into the topics discussed today and to learn about my work, visit alanarosa.com. And don't forget to download your free resources while you're there. And if this episode resonated with you, please share with others who also want to ditch the struggle. Go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating and a review, and let me know what you'd like to see more of on this podcast. And before I go, I want to leave you with my three favorite ways to ditch the struggle. Be your own best advocate, take baby steps for the win, and forget about a linear career path. It's overrated and you are doing just fine. See you next time.